Well, in the fall of 2013, I was on my second trip to Africa. And I was with Bradley Jeems and Dale Baker. And we had been in a village called Netabulu. And we were serving there and speaking there and sharing God's word. And at the end of that trip, I got to meet a gentleman who is with us here today named Seydou Ba. And little did I know how critical a role he would play as a missionary in Senegal to helping us to go back again and again and again and develop relationships. And I just praise God that since that time we have seen over 30 people baptized, and there's no telling how many people have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And some of you, also as exciting in this church, have really found your calling and your place. Some of you have embraced this mission. And, you know, I often say, and I'm going to say this again at the end of the service, but this is an old Rick Warren line. I don't even know if it's original with him. But a church should not be measured by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. And I want you to know, I am proud that Hillcrest is a sending church. And the only way we can be a true sending church is by you saying yes to the call on your life. And it may not necessarily be to West Africa. It may be on a mission trip for Constructors for Christ. We're going to commission people, some people this morning. Or to Cuba. Or other places in the United States. But thank you for listening to the Lord. To that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And saying yes to His call on your life. It may be right here in this neighborhood to Can We Talk. But you are indeed right now fulfilling that role of being a sending church. And I thank you for that. And so, without any further ado, I'm going to introduce Seydou Ba. He's going to come up and he's going to share with us. And I'm going to stay up here with him because he does speak English very well, but sometimes it's a little hard to understand. So I will help him if there's something that we're not understanding well. But I'm really, really thrilled to have Seydou with us here today. Let's give him another hand. A Hillcrest welcome. Good to have you, brother.
Thank you. Good morning. Can you hear me? That's good. That's good. Well, I'm so thankful that I'm here again for the second time in Hillcrest Baptist Church.
That's right.
And I've been here 3 years ago. It was a short visit, and this one is a short visit. But it's never been really like a short visit, you know, because God can always use even 1 second, you know, to do what He want to do. So it's not about our timing, is about His timing.
That's right.
So, Pastor David, he's going to help me, right, to translate for me. I have been translating for them every time that they come.
That's
so
right.
It's possible to translate for me. So, and another reason is I'm speaking today in my fourth language. So I speak five, I understand eight, so I'm trying with my fourth one. So I kind of need a help a little bit here.
So he's three ahead of me. I'm not four ahead of me. I'm not sure I speak English very well.
when I came here, as we were sharing a little bit, he was telling me that he's speaking in Romans 12. Mm-hmm. And I was so, man, I'm telling you something. If every single Christian know only the whole chapter of Romans 12, you don't need anything in the Bible. You know, every time, most of the time, I pray that God help me to be the Christian of Romans 12. Mm. You know, and just to let you know how powerful is that chapter. You know, this morning we're going to be just going a little bit over there and kind of grasp it a little bit before I went off and speaking a little bit about Senegal. So please, if you can read, open your Bible in Romans 12 verses, I believe it's 3 to 8. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can read it for me because
I
use French. I don't use English Bible, so... That may not make sense for you guys. So,
Okay, let's listen to the Word of God, and you can follow along in your Bibles. I'll read beginning in verse 3 through verse 8. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. if exhorting in exhortation, giving with generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. Let me pray together, and then we'll begin. Father, I thank you again for the reading of your word. I thank you for how your inspired word is a message to us as individuals, and I thank you that your Holy Spirit illumines our minds and help us to understand your word. Mm-hmm. I pray for my brother right now. I just pray that you would speak through Sadu, mm-hmm. and I pray that you would give him a message that we need to hear, mm-hmm. and I thank you for his ministry in Senegal. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for the worship time we've already had. We praise you and give you honor as our holy Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, this is a very powerful verses for me. I don't know for you guys, but for me. And when I think about the man who wrote this book, I have a lot of things alike about him. You know, and this guy, you know, the first time that I hear the Bible's talking about him, it was in Acts 7, you know, when they were literally stoning Stephen. And he was a young guy, you know, sitting over there, and he's the one who was holding, you know, the guy who was killing Stephen, you know, he's the one who was holding the cross. So he had been watching, and he had been proving, you know, it's okay to kill this bad guy because he's a Christian. And he was so thankful because, you know, they killed Stephen. Not only on that, if you read on Acts 8, we will see he approved it. Not only he approved it, but he was going from house to house, from church to church. He was really beating up people. He was killing up people. He was devastating churches. That was his job. That was the job of a guy who was a Jew. And when we see also in Philippians, you know, if we can read that, that would be great. You know, Philippians 3, 5 to 8, okay. You know, we will get to give us a little bit of idea about who was this guy who wrote this verse that we are reading today.
So I'm going to read out of Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. And again, Paul is talking about his life before he came to know Christ. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. Will we keep going?
Yeah, 2:8. 2:8.
5, okay.
2:8.
But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ.
This guy, he was somebody different than a normal or ordinary person. I'm from a Muslim background believer. You know, I grow up is this kind of thing. You know, my dad is an Quranic teacher. My grandma, she's a daughter of a king who used to do holy war. I never met a Christian until I was 17 years old. So all what I know is Islam. And I'm telling you, I was praying 5 times a day. And I was a good man, trying to follow the law and all of that, you know, until, you know, I met Jesus. And this guy, you know, and he was like a Jew, born, and, you know, at that time, to be a Jew, you know, it was something special. And I know a lot of people here, you know, they value who they are. And one of the guys that I know, he said, your past can make you what you are today, but your attitude will make you what you're going to be tomorrow.
Amen.
So this guy, he have all the comfort that he could have had in life. If it is like about religion, he was more religious than anybody, I think, here in this room. He was praying. He was following the law. He was fasting at least like three days a week. He was doing all these kind of things. But he wasn't happy. He didn't have salvation. And for like a zeal, he had more zeal than anybody of here because we never killed anybody to bring him to Christ. But he was killing literally people because he wanted them to be Jews. Mm-hmm. Do you see the paradox?
Yes.
He was so happy and so zeal to what he was doing. And, You know, most of the time, as Christians, sometimes we don't even have the zeal to share the gospel with somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to be nice, but we have always to think about, to draw the line when it is time to be nice and when it is time to stand up for what we believe.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes we are too nice, not until we will not even share the gospel with the people. And this is a guy who wrote this, what we are reading today. He said, by the grace of God, you know, I'm telling you, you know, anyone will not look at himself. We know a lot of people, we value people according to how many certificates they have and how many certificates they hang in the world. That show how much education you have, but will not make you a decent human being. Everybody, you know, I know the society what we are running, it is not only in here in the United States, but also around the globe. You know, we value people according to how much they know. But it's about who you know.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't know Jesus Christ, your life will not make a change. If you do not know him, I'm one of the most educated, you know, in my country. I'm an electrical engineer. But my life never make change until I meet Jesus.
Amen.
And then I understand why I'm here on earth. And my mission become very clear to me. And this is Paul who said that. He said, we need to humble ourselves and have all the humiliation and to be modest and not having a high opinion to ourselves, but to lift up others. That's not easy, believe me. Sometimes our flesh want to speak a little bit about us. Seriously.
Yes.
Sometimes we want to, you know, lift up ourselves a little bit. But Paul said we need to humble ourselves. And Paul said, because we are many members for one body. And I'm going to tell you a short story. First time I really sent this, it was when my wife and her brothers was trying to divorce us because we are Christian.
He's saying that his wife's brothers were trying to make them get a divorce. His wife and he are Christians, but the brothers are not Christian.
And they took me to court, and they wrote a letter, a divorce letter, and they make my wife to sign it by force, and they took it to the court, so I would be divorced my wife. And I get there, the judge called me, I went over there, and she asked me and my wife, do you want to divorce your husband? She said, no. And then she said, okay, it's fine. But, you know, we went through a little deeper than that, but before I get over there,
so before he went to see the judge about the divorce.
And then that time, I cried because I was receiving text messages from the United States, from Europe, from Asia, from a different part of Africa. People were saying, we are praying for you.
Amen. Amen.
And that's really the body of Christ. And I had a little bit misunderstanding what was the body of Christ. I know a lot of people, you know, not only in Senegal, but also in the United States, misunderstood what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Because so many times, people will say, this is my life. Mm-hmm. So many times, this is not your business. And I was thinking about that before. Mm-hmm. But that's wrong, believe me. If, for example, this is my fingernail, if I cut myself here, do you think that the whole body will fulfill it?
Yes.
Yes. It's how we are in Christ. If any of us is hurt, the whole body hurt. If any of us is not doing what he's supposed to do, the whole body is hurt. And a lot of time, you know, especially when we sin, we say that no matter how thing you slide it, there's only always two faces. I always was saying that, you know, this is my business. This is not your business. Mm-hmm. But in the other side also, there are a lot of people who had a cut. But instead of people coming and bending it, you know, a clinic, you know, they would make it worse. Mm-hmm. And the news word is, you know, we need to love one another. Each one of us has a call. Each one of us has a gift from God. Maybe I can, if I'm standing here today, it's because the support of each one of you guys for me to be able to hear, to be here. So you have a role to play, even if what is happening in Senegal today. Mm-hmm. We saw somewhere in the Bible it said that there are goers and senders. If we are the goers, you are the senders.
Okay. The goers and senders,
yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So he's saying there's everyone has a role to play in the body of Christ. Some are the goers that go to the field, and others are senders.
So it's a connection. It's
we're
a
all connected.
Yeah, it's a different part, and each one of us has a different role to play for a team to be able to win, mm-hmm. for people for Christ. And as I said earlier in my story, you know, that's the first time that I felt the true love of Jesus Christ through his disciples.
So when he was going through that really difficult time where his brother-in-laws were trying to make him have a divorce to his wife because they were not Christians, he saw the love of the body of Christ. When people from all over the world sent their prayers, they texted him and said that they were praying for him. And moved him to tears.
That make me cry, and that make me think about several verses in the Bible. One of them is John 13:35. And I read the Bible 10 times before I become Christian, but the only evidence that Jesus said is how they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Amen. John 13:35 says, "By this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another."
That's the key. That's the evidence that we can see that these people are Christians.
That's the evidence that we are Christians.
If we don't have love, we are no different than the other people. Because anybody, even a pagan person, if you do something good to him, he will do something good back to you.
Right. Even a pagan or an unbeliever will do something good if you've done something good to him.
He will do that. And it's why, because of that love, and believe me, that love doesn't exist in any other religion I want to say religion, because we are not in a religion. We are in a relationship with God.
Right.
You know, but I've been in a religion, and I lack that word.
He's saying that's unique to Christianity. The Christian faith is unique in how we love one another and how we love others.
And the first time that I hear about John 3:16, I was, doesn't make sense to me how somebody can love someone until he go and die for that person. Mm-hmm. It wasn't making sense to me. But the day that I read that John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16, that blew out my mind. Not only Jesus died for us, but us also, we need to be willing to die for the others.
Amen. I think probably everyone knows John 3:16, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters."
So for that reason, I didn't make money out of my profession. God called me because I have love for my people.
God called him to what he's doing today because he has love for his people.
Because I've been watching people dying every day, and I'm for sure they are going to hell.
He's watching people die every day where he lives, and he's sure they're going to hell.
It's what called me.
And that's what drives him or calls him to his
to be a missionary today in my country. I've been missionary since 2002. I'm full-time missionary in my country.
He's been a missionary since 2002 in Senegal.
And I've been starting. At that time, I can tell by names, you know, so-and-so live in this town, so-and-so live in... I know all the Christians in the whole country.
There were so few Christians at that time in Senegal. He knew every one of them, and that's in the whole nation. That'd be like knowing everybody in every town who was a Christian.
And then that drove me.
That drove him.
To tell people about Christ.
To let others know about Christ.
I I studied, you know, to the mission, going from a village to a village. You know, sometimes I will walk, sometimes I will use a motorbike, sometimes I bicycle, sometimes I use horse car to go from village to village to tell people about Christ.
So he started going from village to village telling people about Christ.
And until in that journey is how I met Hillcrest.
And that's how we met, Hillcrest.
And believe me, because you guys, you are working with the Kasanke people.
And we're working with the Kasanke people.
I have been put in jail because of the Kasanke people.
He's been put in jail because the Kasanke people and us.
I was going and I was trying to find the Kasanke people in the Gambia, and they were thinking I'm a spy. They put me in jail.
We asked him to help us to locate the Kasanke people in Senegal and in the Gambia. And when he went to the Gambia, they thought he was a spy, so they put him in jail.
That's so anyway, that's
another story.
That's another story. Great thing happened after that, you know, getting a big connection with those guys, and you know, God worked it out great. So which is wonderful. So in our ministry, we start like last year with like schools.
In the last year, they have started schools for pastors, people who are men who are feeling called to lead as pastors or shepherds in these villages who accepted Christ.
Because I told you earlier, I could have known all the Christians in my country, but today, just in our ministry, we have over to 30 house churches.
Just in
under our ministry.
In their ministry, they have over 30 house churches now.
Today.
That have started today. We can praise God for that.
And personally, I didn't know all the Christians in the country now.
So now he doesn't know all the Christians in the country.
I even didn't know all the Christians in one cluster.
Even in one cluster.
So which is,
so
you know,
it's growing.
It's so thankful, and it's why the idea of starting church planting schools.
So that's why he sees the need to start church planting schools, where the men can come and they can learn more about the Word of God and how to be good shepherds.
And they will be coming for 6 months.
So they come for 6 months.
And they will stay over there learning more about the Bible.
They learn more about the Bible.
But also they will learn how to share the gospel with the people.
They also learn how to share the gospel with the people.
Because we cannot go individually to disciple people.
Because they can't go individually to disciple people.
Because there are so many now.
Because there are so many now.
But when we train people, they will be able to go into discipleship just people.
So they need to train others so that they can go and disciple people.
Not only they will disciple just people, but they will start new churches also.
And they'll start new churches in addition to that.
Yes, you know, recently I hear that Daba has more believers in where he is.
One of the men who came to Christ when Marianne was in Senegal, named Daba, where he's living now, there's more believers.
I never met them. I
and
didn't meet them yet.
Them.
You know, and I hear that GB has more believers in where he lives.
And another believer we know named GB, who lives in a village near us, also has more believers.
I never met them
He's
yet.
Never met them.
You know, and I know Jara is working so hard. And, you know, last time he took me to the Gambia to meet no believers.
And you've heard of Jara, who we work with on a regular basis, also is working hard. And he went to the Gambia last time to share Christ with others.
So that means that, you know, through your prayer and through your support, you know, God is making wonderful things.
God is doing wonderful things through your prayers and your support.
And believe me.
And believe me.
I did not meet these people. Maybe you will never meet these people in your life.
You may never meet any of these people in your life.
But you will meet them in heaven.
But you will meet them in heaven.
And they will know that because of your prayer and support.
And they will know. They will know that because of your prayers and your support,
you know, they are in heaven.
That they
today.
Are in heaven.
That's very exciting.
That's exciting. That's what
when
it's all
just
about.
You hear that.
Yeah. What do you say?
When thinking about that, you know, it's very just exciting.
Thinking about that is very exciting.
You know,
so
for being a vessel for God to use you so many people will come to Christ.
Being a vessel that God would use you to bring many people to Christ.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I wanna. Do you want me to give you a little bit of time to ask questions or things like that?
Yeah. This is a little bit not like we normally do things, but this is a special day. We don't have Sadu here very often. He was last here in 2015. Mm-hmm. He would be happy to answer any questions that you might have about his ministry or about life in Senegal or anything that might be on your heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it depends on where we are and depends on the time of the year.
Depends on where they are at the time of the year.
And time of the year, if they are not like located next to water, you know, we will find a way of, you know, just dump them in the water and get them out. And I think it's very Marian. I think Marian had that kind of experience one time.
Yeah.
You know, she, you know, sometimes we have like where the cows are drinking, you know, we built like cement troughs, you know, and then you can put fetch water from the well, and you know, and sometimes we baptize people when it's the raining season, you know, and when there is like a pond or something like that.
So a pond during the rainy season is a possibility.
Yeah, and then also at the rivers, you know, if it's close to the river.
The Gambia River has been a site. I think Dale has been there and Bradley.
Yeah, well, Dale and myself, I think we baptized about 9 people over there one day.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if you heard the story, but Jara was telling me that there's hippos in that river. So, yeah. Well, we still baptize people over there, and he was telling me a funny story about it. He said one guy, he had his motorcycle. He was going to, like, when you pass that customs.
You pass customs.
Yeah, and he was driving his bike, you know, and suddenly he saw the hippo in the middle of the road. He was so scared that he left his bike and he ran. Yeah.
He didn't know what was going on, so he left his bike and ran away. He saw the people in the river being baptized.
Yeah. Yeah, but we are in good hands.
We are in good hands.
Yeah.
So, good question. Yeah. Good question. Somebody else? Dean.
Last time you touched a little bit on about your dad and him being a teacher for us.
Uh-huh.
And then you talked also about the love that you and have now. Would you kind of share that
with my dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when I became a Christian, you know, everybody left me. I was so lonely.
When Sadie became a Christian, his family left him, and so he was lonely.
You know, I didn't have a friend.
Didn't have a friend.
I remember one day, you know, my friends called me for a meeting about 2 a.m. in the morning. You know, they told me, Sadie, we cannot be your friend anymore.
So they called him for a meeting at 2 in the morning and said, we can't be your friend anymore.
So in our society, it's a little bit different than your society.
His society is different than our society.
We are people-oriented.
People-oriented.
We live together.
They live together.
We do things together.
Do things together.
Even when we eat as a family, we don't eat in plates. We eat in a big bowl.
When they eat together, they eat in a big bowl? Is that what
you're saying? Yes, bowl.
Bowl.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay.
You eat by section, you know, like section pie.
I should know that. I've done that.
We eat by section. So just to show you, you know, how close we are.
To show you how close we are.
In my dad's family today, there's more than 30 people who live in my dad's family.
More than 30 people live in his dad's family. He means in the compound where his dad lives.
We are 6 boys and 3 girls.
6 boys and 3 girls.
All the girls move out and join their husbands.
All the girls have moved out and joined their husbands.
But the boys, most of them, they are married, they have children.
But the boys, most of them are married and have
4
children.
4 of them are married and have children.
They're married and have children.
And my older brother has more than one wife. He has 2 wives.
And older brother has 2 wives.
Well, it's normal. People have up to 4 wives.
That's
it's
normal.
Islam. And sometimes they call me I'm a wimp because I don't have more than 1.
Sometimes they say he's a y'all got that, didn't you?
And also I treat my wife well. So they said they think, you know, I'm a wimp too. So
for treating his wife well, they think he's a wimp.
So, and for 2 years, they have been watching my life.
For 2 years, they've been watching his life.
They were thinking, if I become a Christian, I will start, like, hanging around girls, drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes.
They think that if he becomes a Christian, in a while, he'll start drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes.
It's what they know about Christianity.
It's what they know about Christianity.
They have been watching my life.
So they've been watching his life.
After 2 years.
After 2 years.
My dad called me one day.
His dad called him.
He said, Sadu.
Sadu.
Even you don't believe the same thing that we believe, but I want you to know that you're still part of the family.
Even though you don't believe the same things we believe, I want you to know you're still part of the family.
And that really touched my heart.
And that touched his heart.
And then my dad and myself, we get so close.
He and his dad have gotten so close.
Today.
Today.
He will allow anybody to move out of his house.
He will allow anybody to move out of his house.
Except to me.
Except for Sadie.
He didn't want me to leave. Even when we go to Moor, like in another, at the house of prayer, we spend like a month or 2 months over there, he get mad at me because I stay too long away from him.
So, So even when he's going to another area for the house of prayer, he gets mad because he's gone so long.
And I, you know, my dad and myself, we are very close.
So he and his dad are very close.
You know, I shared the gospel with him one day using the Quran.
He shared the gospel with him one day using the Quran.
Showing him some chapters in the Quran.
Showed him some chapters in the Quran.
Where it said Jesus is the word of God.
Where it says Jesus is the word of God.
He's a soul of God.
He is the soul of God.
When in all so many different things in the Quran.
So many different things in the Quran.
And he asked himself.
And he asked himself.
Why is Islam? Why is Islam?
Why is Islam?
Yeah. So in another word, he was thinking about, you know, it's not really necessary, you know, to have Islam.
He's saying it's not really necessary to have Islam. He's reasoning this in his mind as he listens to what Sadhu is saying.
Because he knows what I was saying is making more sense than what he learned.
Because he knows what he was saying made more sense.
And today, he did not make a public confession.
And today he has not made a public confession
that he's a Christian.
That he's a Christian.
But I will not be surprised when I see him in heaven.
But I would not be surprised if I were to see him in heaven. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, I think I saw one back there. Ben, do you have a question? He wants to know if, in addition to Islam, if there's trouble with witchcraft or the occult in Senegal where
yes.
you live.
Yes,
he says
do.
Yes. There
we
is.
We have part of our ministry. We, you know, in Nyaha, we have a group of people, and I think we had a wonderful experience with Brother Dale. I don't know if he shared it with the people here. You
He's talking about an experience that Dale was at in Nyahar, which is
yeah.
a city.
And also in Sini.
And in Sini.
You know, seeing people, you know, being really demon-possessed.
Where people are demon-possessed.
You know.
And they come when we have the teaching.
And casting out demons.
And they've had experiences of casting out demons
yeah,
in these places.
And it's real.
It is real. Demons are real.
Yeah, it's real.
And because of the occultic activity, there are people that are demon-possessed
yeah.
in the country.
Yeah. And a lot of people already have, like, their ancestors already have a pact with the demons before.
They have made a pact with the demons, some of the people in these occultic
Sometimes you will see somebody coming to church.
Sometimes you'll see somebody coming to church.
You know, sometimes when we pray, like, a prayer of deliverance for people.
Sometimes we're praying a prayer of deliverance for the people.
They will be shaken. They will be shaking.
They will be shaking, visibly
and
shaking.
Yeah, and falling on the ground, screaming.
And falling on the ground.
Screaming.
It's crazy.
And these people, after you deliver them, they need to cut the pact that they have with the demons.
And then after they are delivered, they need to cut the path with the demons.
Because it's not from them, but it's passing from the ancestors to them.
It's passed from their ancestors to them. It's ancestry worship.
Yeah.
So.
It's real.
Another question? You understand what she's asking?
She said.
She wants to know if you are more fearful of the government in Senegal when you become a Christian or of your family and the society. Am I right?
Yeah. Well,
oh, she's wanting to know about religious freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in Senegal, we have the freedom of religion.
Senegal does have the freedom of religion.
But even they say that we have the freedom of religion, we do not really have the freedom of religion.
But even though they tell you have it, they don't really have it.
Does that make sense? You know, because when you become a Christian, the people who are in the government, they are the people who are from the country.
The people who are in the government are the people from the country.
So they don't like it.
So they don't like it.
You know, they will not do it visibly, you know, in a visual way, but they will try somehow to, you know, to stop you or something like that.
Okay. So while it may have, in principle or practice, they may have it, behind the scenes, they're going to try to probably undermine what you're doing.
Yeah, but you have more harm from your community, from your people, from your relative. You will have more.
He's saying the hardest part is with your relatives or your family, the people, because it's such a communal society. and everything is shared, you're going to have more trouble in your village or in your home among your family than you are with the government.
And when you become Christian for the first time, it's to look like you betray them.
They feel like you've betrayed them.
Because like Islam is like a circle.
Islam is like a circle.
You know, when you decide to follow something, you know, you are out of the circle. You are out of the community.
Now you're out of the circle or the community.
And they feel like they have been betrayed by you.
So they feel a sense of betrayal.
It's why they said, even for that, you know, Islam allowed them to kill you.
That's why Islam allows them to kill you.
Because you betray them.
Because of betrayal.
And some people, you know, they may say, okay, even I'm the relative, they said, they would dishonor me. They wouldn't say, I'm not part of them anymore.
So even though I'm a relative, they would ignore me and say, I'm not part of them.
They anymore. Are not my relative. They would say, no,
he's
not
my
relative
anymore.
Because they, for them, I'm dead. I'm
for
not
them,
part of
it's
them.
It's like he's dead.
So it's how a little bit that works. And also, our ministry is so expanding that we work in a neighboring country, which is Mauritania.
So their ministry is expanding, and they're working in a neighboring country called Mauritania to
even,
the north.
Even in our last school, we had Mauritania is the north over there. We had six people coming to the Bible school.
So at the last school, six people came from Mauritania.
And it's a very interesting country.
It's a very interesting country.
Because you cannot take a Bible over there.
You cannot take a Bible to Mauritania.
You cannot share the gospel with somebody over there.
You can't share the gospel. It's what we would call a closed country.
Yeah, a couple months ago, they in the, I don't know how you call it, in the National Assembly, I don't know how you call it. It may be like...
The National Assembly of the government, you
mean? Yes, government.
The National Assembly or
they
government.
They passed the law. If anybody's caught sharing the gospel, they're going to kill you.
If anybody's caught sharing the gospel in Mauritania, they've passed the law that they can kill you.
Yes. Good, 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 good. Praise God.
We celebrated that for sure.
Do you want to explain that a little bit?
He's saying, I think what he's saying is, why can't we make peace between the religions and have a relationship or discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Am I understanding that right?
Well, yeah. Well, that's possible. I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I never see anywhere where, you know, said that Jesus took a sword, you know, and killed somebody.
He never saw anywhere where Jesus took a sword to kill anyone.
And even he called himself the Prince of Peace.
He even called himself the Prince of Peace.
So he really wants peace.
So he really wants peace. I'm a Muslim background believer. I used to hate Christians.
Because it's what I study.
Because it's what I study.
It's what I have seen my prophet was doing. He spread Islam by using the sword.
His prophet spread Islam by using the sword.
If I come to your house with using a sword, do I want really peace?
If I come to your house using the sword, do I really want peace? I don't think so.
That was a scary thing that, you know, I have been learning.
But I believe.
If people, you know, make up right their mind.
If people make up their mind.
We can come in a conclusion.
We can come in, what was that?
Conclusion.
Conclusion.
Yeah, that we can talk.
That we can talk.
But we cannot talk with a sword on your hand or with a bulletin in your other hand.
But we can't talk when someone's trying by force with a sword in their hand.
We are Christian in our country.
We have Christians in our country.
No, we are Christian
we
in
are
our country.
We are Christian in our country.
I didn't have a gun. Believe
I
me.
I didn't have a gun with me.
I don't have even like a knife.
Even a knife.
I have trying to for Kim to let me use a knife for hold the trip, but it doesn't work. So that's another story. But the thing is, what I'm trying to make is, the point that I'm trying to make is, I don't believe the problem is the Christian side for doing
you
that.
You don't believe the problem is on the Christian
no,
side?
Yeah.
I did not say that.
Okay.
All religions are a continuation of each other. Okay, so when you start reading all the religions, you find it makes sense. You're talking about the path to Christ? Or the relationship? Oh, yes. He's saying there's a parallel between religions.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He sees a parallel.
I know, because Muhammad been in Ethiopia and learned a lot about the Bibles. Okay. Even I think even the Quran said that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
To protect the Muslims.
Of course.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every person is a human being with a soul.
Yeah. No, that's you did great, Ahmed. You did great. What I want to say here, according to what he said, it is Jesus said he's the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will not go to the Father without passing through him. Mm-hmm. And he's not trying to do anything bad to anybody. He's here just to show the way. I know I have been a Muslim. I have been crying out every day, you know, show me the way to God. He knows what I'm talking about. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Arrahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmid Din. Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. So, all of us, we are looking for the path who's going to God. Either you are a Muslim, if you are a Buddhist, or whoever you are.
So whether you're Muslim or Buddhist or whatever your background, we're all looking for
God. You are trying to find the path to go to God. Everybody. So for that reason, Jesus came and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth,
and
the life.
A lot of people are thinking about religion.
A lot of people are thinking about religion. What I like about Christianity
is not about religion.
It's not about religion.
It's about faith and grace.
It's about faith and grace.
It's about relationship.
It's about a relationship.
It's restoring the broken relationship between Adam and Eve in the garden that they have with God, and it was broke, and they fall in sin, and all of us, you know, we are Adam and Eve descendants.
All of us have fallen the pattern of our great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, and we fall into sin. Believe me, if Christianity was a religion,
I wouldn't be a Christian today.
I wouldn't be a Christian today.
Because I was in a religion. And I believe what Ahmed said, that is a continuing thing, because God had been sending throughout, we learned that God had been sending prophets, you know, for many hundreds of years, warning people about a savior.
So he believes what Ahmed was saying. He agrees that God has been sending prophets for many years to point us to a Savior.
Well, I don't have no problem. I met so many friends, you know, my family. They said, do you believe that Muhammad is a prophet? I don't have no problem if Muhammad is a prophet.
I don't have any problem if Muhammad is a prophet.
I don't have no problem with that.
I don't have a problem
with that. I would not fight with somebody about it.
I wouldn't fight with somebody about that.
But himself, he said he's a clear messenger.
He himself said he is a messenger.
I'm not looking for a messenger.
I'm not looking for a messenger.
I hear the message.
But I need a Savior.
Because I know that I cannot make it by myself.
That's
the difference.
That's the difference.
That's the connection right there.
That's the connection.
And whoever did not have that connection?
And whoever does not have that connection?
You will not have that connection. It's like having a phone with no SIM card.
It's like having a phone with no SIM card.
Or no service. You have the phone.
You have the phone.
Yeah, but you cannot connect with whoever you want to talk to. That's the difference.
That's the difference. Okay.
And I believe and have real peace with you will come to my country.
You will come to my country.
I have peace with like the leaders of my community.
I have peace with the leaders of my country.
I have peace with the spiritual leaders in my country.
The spiritual leaders.
I visit them. I visit them. They come visit me.
They come visit me.
Because I have that peace. That's what I'm saying. You know, because I need to be a channel of peace for these people.
Because I need to be a child of peace for these people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, you were saying something? Oh, wow, great. Man, you touch a very important point over there. Well, I have a funny story about your country, about food.
Okay.
My biggest issue in the United States. Or my biggest problem in the United States.
Biggest problem.
It's when I have to choose for what I'm going to eat. Well, we never know what we eat we get around the bowl.
We never know what we're going to eat until we get around the bowl.
And
first time I get to the United States.
My friend picked me up at the airport and we were driving. And he said to me, Sadu, do you want to eat something? I said, yeah.
Sadu, do you want to eat something? I said, yes.
Yeah, he stopped. He said, well, we can grab something very quickly, you know, and stop at a Subway.
We'll stop at Subway and grab something quickly.
Yeah. And I stopped over there. He said, come in. I came in, you know, and he looked. You know, and there's so many different things over there.
So many different things up there.
And he asked me, first question that they asked me, what kind of bread you like?
First question, what kind of bread?
I never heard that question in my life. I never know that there is more than one kind of bread
in my life.
Never
knew there was more than one kind of bread.
So I was looking there, so like hot meal or whatever, you know, so, and I just point one bread.
Just point to one bread.
And then they start asking me, what kind of lettuce you want?
What kind of meat?
What kind of dressing? What kind of cheese? What kind of... I said, you know what? Put everything in it.
Just put everything in it.
And he did. And this thing was so big and so messy that I couldn't even eat it.
The thing was so big, so messy, you couldn't even eat it.
So most of the time in my country, at the middle of the day, we eat rice.
Eat rice.
And we are living next to the Atlantic Ocean, so we have fish. Is it like fresh fish or dry fish? Sometimes we eat a little bit of meat, you know, when you can afford it, like a little chicken or something like
chicken
that.
Chicken or?
And at night, especially in the villages, most of the time they eat like something made out of millet. I don't know if you
know
what
millet
is. Millet is like a bird seed that, you guys are using. You know, you make flour with it. You can make like couscous for the morning, you know, and couscous at night, and you will make maybe peanut sauce on top of it, you know, for breakfast and for dinner.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
I like it. Dale, you like it, don't you?
Yeah. I think he's thinking about coming to my country. Maybe he's...
What? Come back fat. Yeah, they are very hospitable.
Yeah.
Hospitality is huge in Senegal. Yeah. They have treated us like kings.
Yeah.
Dale, Marianne, Bradley will attest to that.
Yeah.
They treat us so nice when we were there.
Yeah. Our country is called Country of Hospitality.
Right.
That's our name.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So. Hey, we're going to have to kind of wrap it up today. Let's go ahead and thank Sadu for his words.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and have our musicians come forward. We're going to have an invitation here at this time. And Sadu, if you could go ahead and come down here and be seated.
Okay.
And after we have our invitation, we're going to have a time of prayer of commissioning for the Atkinsons. And they're going to be leaving on a trip to do some mission work for Constructors for Christ. But then, if you want to talk to Sadu before you leave for lunch, he will be available. We'll meet out in the foyer, and he will be available, and you can ask him questions. And I do want you to greet him and make him feel welcome, because he is a very special guest, and we love him very much.